You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. When states challenge the federal government over things like public land rights or same-sex marriage, taxpayers are on the hook for that. Idaho is one of two states that has a separate bank account to pay for legal fees and settlements in these cases. That fund was created specifically to challenge federal overreach. But critics say it's giving state legislators more license to pass laws courts have found to be unconstitutional. James Dawson has the story.
The Constitutional Defense Fund was established in Idaho for one reason: to push back against what conservative lawmakers in the 90s saw as the federal government trampling over states' rights.
We had Clean Water Act, we had the Endangered Species Act, we had the salmon issues, and we had the federal government wanting to make a nuclear dump out of Idaho.
That's former Idaho House Speaker Bruce Newcomb. He was one of the lead sponsors of the bill back in 1995, and he says at first the fund worked as intended. That same year, Idaho hired an outside law firm to reach a settlement with the feds to stop bringing more nuclear waste into the state and clean up what was already stored here. Newcomb says just having the fund also gave them leverage when federal officials were considering more stringently regulating waterways.
And so we threatened to file suit, and with pressure from our legislative people in Congress, we were able to negotiate a compromise there.
But several years later, Newcomb says the Constitutional Defense Fund became a kind of default checkbook for the Idaho legislature to pass laws based on optics rather than legality.
A good share of these times, the Attorney General said, we don't have a leg to stand on, but we chose to pursue it anyway.
An example of one of those lawsuits: in 2013, several Idaho counties refused to issue gay couples' marriage licenses, even after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled same-sex marriage constitutional. That cost the state more than $700,000 when four couples sued. South Dakota has a similar fund, and a handful of other states have created accounts specifically to defend their abortion laws. And the vast majority of the $3.1 million Idaho's fund has paid out has come in the last 5 years.
A federal judge has struck down the controversial ag gag law passed by lawmakers in 2014.
Late this afternoon, a federal judge ruled Idaho's ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional.
A local veteran denied the right to be buried with her same-sex spouse is celebrating a victory today. Another effect of Idaho's same-sex marriage ban being struck down.
The fund is overseen by a council made up of the governor, the attorney general, the speaker of the House, and the Senate pro tem Brent Hill. He says the fund streamlines something the state would have to pay for one way or the other.
I get to vote on statutes that I think are constitutional when I vote for them, but the decision to take this to trial is not made by the council.
But Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin, who declined to be interviewed, does have the power to bring and defend lawsuits brought against the state. Every member of the council has been a Republican since its inception. That doesn't sit well with Wendy Jaquit, who was the longtime Democratic House leader who voted against the fund.
Having a small number of people make a decision to expend the funds, the leadership of the majority party, that's not a Democratic model. Those kinds of decisions should be made at the full legislative level.
But since Idaho's legislature only meets for 3 months each year, Hill says it's a more convenient way to handle these settlements. Plus, he likes that a group of elected officials oversees it.
I think that one of the advantages of this is it's not one agency and it's not one person making the decision.
Bruce Newcomb, the former House Speaker, saw that as an advantage, too, when he helped write the bill. He thinks the state still needs the Constitutional Defense Fund, but that it needs to go back to its original purpose, keeping the feds off of Idaho's back.
But that's not going to happen until somebody takes the bull by the horns and does it, you know.
Newcomb isn't holding his breath. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
And James is here in studio with us to dive deeper into the story. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, always.
Okay, so take us back to 1995. What about the political landscape here in Idaho made lawmakers decide, you know, this was a good idea and they wanted to create this fund?
Yeah, I think Bruce Newcomb, the former House Speaker, talked a little bit about this. You know, you have to think, so we're talking 1990s. It's just after the Sagebrush Rebellion, where you have a bunch of ranchers talking about, the federal government is taking over too much land. They have too much control, BLM specifically. And we need to push back states' rights, et cetera, et cetera. You have the Endangered Species Act. We're talking about the spotted owl in Oregon, which, right, you know, upended like a lot of mm-hmm. timber harvesting, stuff like that. You have the nuclear waste storage at INL. Idaho is still one of the only states, or maybe the only state, with that kind of settlement cleanup agreement. And then you have, you know, salmon issues with Bureau of Reclamation wanting the state of Idaho at the time to promise a bunch of water to help salmon more easily get to the Pacific Ocean and hopefully theoretically return for bigger salmon runs. So you have all of these issues. And in 1995, when I talked to Bruce, he was telling me he went to a conference and a lot of other Western states were saying, yeah, we really need to push back against this and maybe we should put our money where our mouth is.
Hmm. So does it seem to you, when you interviewed former Idaho Speaker Bruce Newcomb, does he regret forming this, or is it just that it was intended use hasn't always lined up with what's actually happened?
I asked that question kind of a few times, uh-huh. a few different ways. I don't think he regrets it. You know, he thinks that the state still needs the fund. You know, it should be used for its original purpose to, you know, potentially threaten lawsuits or even follow through with lawsuits against the federal government. He still wants that. He still thinks that it's absolutely been transformed by the people who oversee it, many of whom have been here for decades. I mean, we're talking about Governor Brad Little's been around politics all of his life. I believe current House Speaker Scott Bedke's been in the legislature for 20 years, mm-hmm. right? Lawrence Wasdin, the Attorney General, has been there since the early 2000s. So, I mean, all of these people have been around, and they kind of know the backstory. They know what it was intended for, but this is how it's been administered recently.
So in the piece, you mentioned that South Dakota has a similar fund. No other states, right? That's it? Idaho and South Dakota?
As far as we could find, yeah. There were a couple funds or a couple states that had funds specifically relating to abortion. Idaho was actually one of them I want to say about 5 years ago when Idaho passed its 20-week abortion ban. Federal courts later struck that down, but they had established a fund underneath the Constitutional Defense Fund to help protect against any litigation that would go toward that abortion law. And we found, Utah was one of the first back in the 90s, Kentucky, Ohio, North Dakota, a few of them across the state seemed like that was much more of a thing. But South Dakota is interesting because it's similar, right?
Right.
So it's called the Extraordinary Litigation Fund.
Extraordinary Litigation Fund.
Well, and the acronym's even better, ELF. It's very Christmassy, right?
We need ELF to show up right now.
Yes. But for South Dakota, that fund is much more active. They've spent $9.8 million since 2005. So it's been around 10 years fewer than Idaho's fund. And it's spent a whole lot more, about more than three times as much, to be honest.
So is it, as you said, it is similar. So they're spending that almost $10 million to fight certain legal cases.
Yeah. The only thing is that they actually have a better win-loss record. When I was looking through the cases that had been settled through that fund, there were a few that were brought by the state of South Dakota, and they outright won. You know, whereas Idaho has a 1-13 record. In terms of winning these lawsuits or whatever else the fund paid for. The other interesting thing about South Dakota is that the way they fund it is different. Basically, it has the money in there, and they will pay out up to $0, right? Let's say they have $2 million in there. The settlement's $3 million. They'll pay all $2 million, and they have, like, an extra fund for it. And so, I don't know. It's not as much of a backstop, as critics like to put it, of the Idaho Fund, the Constitutional Defense mm-hmm. Fund, because Idaho, it's just, hey, we're going to throw a bunch of money in here and then, you know, wait until it depletes.
So what was it about this story that you got interested in and that you thought, you know what, I want to tell this story?
Well, I think that the record itself is interesting, right? Like, 1-13 doesn't sound very good, but what's actually behind that? You know, we're counting the one win as the nuclear settlement agreement. That and the outside counsel that they hired to defend Idaho's constitutional statute about same-sex marriage were the only times that they hired outside counsel, which is what it was intended to do. They lost that. They paid $700,000 for that lawsuit with four same-sex couples who wanted to get married here, even after the U.S. Supreme Court declared it constitutional. But also, much of the $3.1 million that the fund has spent has been in the last 5 years. So it's kind of accelerated. And, you know, I'm also a history nerd, so I think that's fascinating. Like, how was this actually set up? What was it intended to do? And I think that that's one of the more interesting parts of this whole thing.
Well, I appreciate you telling the story because I think a lot of people have heard about the Idaho Defense Fund, but you really don't know what it's about. Yeah. So thanks for the history lesson.
Thank you, Gemma.
We've been talking with our own James Dawson. Appreciate the time, James. And up next, we're going to talk about paid parental leave in Idaho, and we're going to learn about one company that really could be leading the way in this. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.